Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Well Now. This is Angie here, and we're live in Perth, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. Actually, I've been really excited to have this guest on. Willow Francis and his partner Catherine Francis have been in Perth since 2010 doing cacao ceremonies. I say cacao. We're going to get to that in a second. And in 2008, they were in Guatemala and they experienced a ceremony, brought them back and started working with cacao in sacred ceremony over the last 10 years. Willow's background is in military paramedic and a nurse, and he's been a spiritual meditation facilitator for over three decades, doing a lot of work on self and working with others in the spiritual or in the realm of all sorts. But we'll find out more in greater detail from Willow. So I just want to say welcome, Willow.
Oh, good morning. Well, thank you.
Welcome. Welcome and thank you for sharing your time here with us today. I'm very excited. This is a subject that I wanted to touch on and explore because I've been working in spiritual realms or in spirituality for over 20 years now. But plant medicine, because I asked you earlier, I said, can I call it plant medicine? Because it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yep. Cacao. I've been looking at plant medicine and there's a plethora out there and it's like exploding at the moment with everyone waking up and, you know, looking at self, you know, self-interest, self-awareness and consciousness. So it's been really interesting to watch the world wake up in this way. And plant medicine has become one of those things that are in the world. That is one of the things to do. To start with, Willow, what I'd like to ask you is, you know, I know that you went over to Guatemala. How did this journey start for you?
Well, the journey to Guatemala was very magical, like a lot of our journeys. Catherine and I, we'd actually been working with other plant medicines for about 3 years.
Okay.
And we're running a superfood business, working with raw chocolate and educating people about cacao and the health benefits of cacao.
Back then?
Back then.
Yeah. Yep. Wow.
And we also working with lots of other superfoods, running elixir craft workshops to help people, you know, green smoothies and cacao smoothies with lots of Ayurvedic herbs and things, very much focused on health and well-being and giving people responsibility about their health through their food.
Sure.
So we'd been making raw chocolate for a while and everyone loved our raw chocolate. We were running chocolate making workshops so we could educate people about the health benefits of cacao.
Yeah.
And we'd heard of this cacao shaman in South America.
Okay.
And we'd searched on the webs and the net and all the stuff, but we didn't find anything. And it was a bit of a, you know, an urban myth maybe. So we sort of put it aside and then it sort of came up again. And then we sort of tracked down this fellow, and he's a Western fellow. I'll make that clear. He's a Western fellow named Keith in Guatemala.
I love it. Keith in Guatemala.
Yeah, at Lake Atitlan, which is the most amazing place in Guatemala. And literally by finding a connection with him, we were flying out the country in 2 weeks later.
Wow.
We flew to LA and then down to Guatemala.
Yeah.
And then out to Lake Atitlan, where we hiked in valleys and hills for 3 days, sleeping on people's floors.
Wow,
it was quite the epic journey for us guys, which was really cool. That's what we're up for. and we got there, and Keith was Keith. So he's an interesting fellow, quite new age, I'll say, and I'm not saying that in any derogatory way. I'm just saying his education, the way he was coming at this work was quite a new age way. Because traditionally, it's very hard to find information about traditional cacao ceremonies.
Okay.
It's known clearly that the Aztecs, when they worked with psilocybin mushrooms in their ceremonies, they drink cacao to add length to the journeys, to potentize the psilocybin mushroom, the magic sacred mushroom.
Right, okay.
So that's where cacao is definitely seen. Cacao is also consumed by the Maya and the Aztecs in ritualistic fashion.
Wow.
And cacao sort of had a journey from the ancient worlds right through, which I can talk about if you're interested.
Yeah.
But so we got there and Keith was there and I knew I'd have to just let go of what I knew for a bit and just be humble and learn from this fellow and his way.
Yeah.
And I had the most amazing experience. Catherine was unwell on the first ceremony, so she stayed at the hotel. She had Montezuma's Revenge.
Okay.
Which people might understand, like Bali Belly. It's something that very easy to get when you're in South America, okay. Central America. And I went and sat with Keith one-on-one. So we had a few days with him, just one-on-one, which was what we'd set up with him to learn about it. And we got to travel to the markets and pick the beans with him and really dive deep into the his side of things.
Yeah.
And my first journey was just magnificent. I'd worked with plant medicines for quite a long time. And it seems that if you have done work with other plant medicine, then cacao's very easy to enter into these altered states and sort of enter the inner realms, if you like.
Yeah, sure.
And I got really clear download on offering these ceremonies out of nowhere. It was just very clear that this is something I'm going to do. I'm going to take all my experience from running other ceremonies and with the sound and the setting and the venues and how we craft the event and bring the cacao in. And
wow, cool.
Keith was really happy with that idea.
Yeah.
You know, we let him know very clearly that this was our intention, so there was no shadow jumping in there. And then that night, Catherine actually had a whole mystical experience with cacao in a dream.
Okay.
So I had my journey and she had hers, where she sort of met the spirit on this mountain, and which sounds all very woo-woo and very hippie, but it happened. It was a very clear experience, and for her the spirit of cacao gave her full support to go forth and share the bean, as we say, because we talk about the holy bean, the sacred cacao bean. And if you understand cacao, you see it is an amazing plant medicine. It's nutritionally, it's got over 1200 chemical constituents. It's one of the most complex foods in nature, and it's designed to make humans feel good.
Okay.
It's filled with neurotransmitters.
Sure.
Things like serotonin, dopamine. And these are, so serotonin's a stress defense builder.
Yeah.
Dopamine's a motivator. It's got something called anandamide in it.
Yeah, I saw that on your website. Yeah.
So anandamides, it's only recently been discovered, this molecule.
Right.
So anandamide is, in Sanskrit, ananda means bliss.
Yeah.
So this is the bliss chemical.
Yeah, cool.
And generally you get it from the runner's high.
Okay.
So they found the locking mechanism in the brain before they found the key. So all substances need a key lock mechanism to work.
Yeah.
You can't just have the protein or the molecule. You need something for it to lock into.
Sure.
So they found the lock mechanism, but they hadn't found the actual anandamide. It's part of the cannabinoid receptors.
Right.
So when you smoke marijuana,
that's
what takes place. The THC locks into the receptor side and you get high.
Okay.
But the scientists thought, well, not everyone's meant to smoke marijuana, so what's in us that naturally locks in here?
Yeah.
And then they discovered that in the runner's high, we create anandamide, and that's that lovely feeling after a strenuous exercise. But also in the cacao, we have the anandamide reuptake inhibitor. So what that means is the bean has been designed to sustain the effect of the anandamide longer in the body. So it's been designed with a nice high and a way to hold that high, which is really cool.
Yeah.
It's also got stuff called phenethylamide, which is a naturally occurring amphetamine, which is really good for focus. So you know when you're reading a book, if you still read books, people still read books.
Yes, we do. I do.
And you know you just disappear in the book and the kitchen could catch on fire or you wouldn't even notice. That's phenethylamine in action, real focus chemical.
Yep.
So there's lots of PA in cacao. Mm. So when you're meditating or you're using it in ceremony, it's great for that focus and that sustained focus.
Wow, okay. So in the simplest way possible, I suppose, I mean, what does cacao do to your body? What does it do to your brain? What does it, without the science base behind it? If I come to a ceremony of yours and we have a cup of cacao, when we'll get to the ceremony, but what's going to happen? Am I going to be like, you know, am I going to be off my face? Am I going to be, you know, hallucinating?
No, not at all. I mean, you might naturally be doing that, or you might come along and that's your nature. So cacao, you know, fundamentally, cacao was always treated as a medicine and a tonic. It's super high in fiber, soluble and insoluble fiber, so it's really good at clearing out the system.
Okay.
It has the highest source of magnesium of any food group. And magnesium we need to relax the big muscles in the body.
Yes.
Magnesium is focused 18 times in the heart to give the vigor of the heart muscle.
Wow, okay.
It also clears the brain and helps get rid of that brain fog.
Sure.
So when you have your cup of cacao, simply, you know, some people will have a slightly elevated pulse.
Yep.
cardiovascularly, what happens is the blood vessels open up.
Right.
So they dilate. The blood thins a little bit.
Okay.
It's great for clearing the arteries out.
Right.
It's in fact more effective than statin drugs for clearing out build-up in arteries.
Okay, wow.
Usually so. So you get this warm flush.
Sure.
With the neurotransmitters, there's an opportunity with your support, with your consciousness. You need
sure.
to participate in
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you can focus. You get very relaxed. Mm-hmm. And the ability to sort of soften and drop in.
Wow, nice.
And what's interesting is that the story of cacao in all the different tribes in Central and South America, if you like, the mythology in a simplified form was that each of these tribes, even though they weren't connected physically, they had a very similar mythology, yet they were hundreds of miles apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was that was when the tribe was out of balance, when they were out of balance with nature,
yeah.
themselves or each other, the gods would gift them the cacao tree and harmony would be restored.
Okay, cool.
So
wow.
it's a medicine
nice.
Of the heart.
Mm.
And fast forward into the 1950s and 60s and all the research around cacao was around the heart.
Right.
So we've got the mythology and we've got the science all talking about the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So we know from our history and experience whether we're talking about the physical heart, the magnesium, the vasodilation,
yeah.
or whether talking about the metaphysical heart, the metaphorical heart,
mm-hmm.
about harmony and peace.
Yes.
This is what cacao does.
Okay.
So generally there's a sense in a cacao ceremony that I'm okay and it's okay.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And that's a great medicine for us to have in these times. Other plant medicines have their thing, all different. Cacao works in a way where I'm okay, it's okay. So
yeah, that sounds cool. That sounds really gentle.
Yep.
I can really feel it when you talk about it. It sounds really supportive and it just sounds nice and easy. It's not like some of the other plant medicines that we were talking about earlier that sound really full-on LSD experiences, hallucinogens.
Absolutely.
Or hallucinogenics,
yep.
Which can be quite...
confronting.
Yeah, confronting and jolting to the
yes.
system
yep.
if you've not, like you said earlier, not been doing personal development or working in the spiritual have a sense of self and
That's
self-support.
Right. Exactly.
So before we go to a break, I just would like to know, why would people come to a cacao ceremony?
Okay.
Why do people, do you think, or why are they, they're seekers, I suppose.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
But there's a wide variety of people that can go.
Yeah, there is. And just to wrap up on that last part,
yeah.
the way we talk about cacao as a plant medicine in comparison to other entheogens, other plant
yeah,
medicines.
Yes, entheogen being?
A plant medicine that connects you with the divine.
Right.
That's a terminology.
Okay.
There
you go.
Connecting the divine
entheogen,
within.
Okay.
Yeah. So that you will talk about plant medicines, we'll talk about entheogens,
yep.
psychedelics,
cool.
whatever.
Yeah.
So cacao, the way we talk about it is that she gently opens the door.
Right.
So the door's open. You can go as far in as you want. Some people have the whole experience with the unicorns and the rainbows and the other things.
It. Yeah.
And other people have deep personal insights of creativity around their music, around
sure.
their life.
Okay.
You know, interpersonal experiences.
Mm.
So other psychedelics drag you through the door kicking and screaming. And you've got to let go and you've
yes.
got to go for the ride. You've
That's
paid
what
for
I've
the ticket.
Yeah, yep.
Not all,
no.
depending how you approach them.
Sure.
Lots of parasympathetic, lots of relaxation approach, then generally the transition can be well managed.
Sure.
But if you're anxious and nervous and you're not sure of the environment you're taking them,
yes.
then you can be in for a rough ride.
Right. Yeah, that's great advice. Thank you. I think it's really important to know that if anyone is exploring or you want to explore plant medicine, cacao sounds like a beautiful
starter
yeah. to open the door, and it's legal.
Yes.
And it's a space and a place, and also the space that you're with and the people that are running it. It's not just in someone's front room and you've all just got together, and it's just a really supportive experience that you can actually have these experiences and get to your inner heart, your inner truth, whatever that may be. Can you do that just through meditation, though? Is there, you know, because I do believe that, you know, I understand plant medicine can bring us to the next level or into a deeper level, but can we achieve this through meditation?
Yeah, well, that's a good question and a deep question.
Mm.
So there's many forms of meditation.
Yeah.
So it depends on what type of meditation you're doing. A lot of people meditate for stress release, yeah. for relaxation.
Guided meditation.
A lot of people are meditating in the hope that one day they'll become enlightened.
Yes.
Some people meditate to really get present to the reality of life yes. in this moment,
yeah.
which is
yeah.
an enormous task.
Can be, yes.
Like they say, is the hardest thing for a human being to do in the modern day is to sit down for half an hour and not do anything at all.
Mm.
Not try and meditate, not try and change their state, not change their breathing, but sit and just be. And to me, that sort of meditation,
mm-hmm.
that's pretty profound.
Very much so.
The advantage of the cacao ceremony, the way we see it, is that you come along for about 3.5 hours,
mm-hmm.
and for that time you take off all your hats, all your identities, because
mm-hmm.
we load ourselves up with a father, mother, doctor, lawyer, all these important roles we play.
Yes.
And they can be quite encumbering to mm-hmm. our psyche. Yes. We over-identify with these roles.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say to people, you know, take all your hats off
yep.
and be the person who is born and who's going to die.
Wow.
And realise that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a time where you can sit and think, well, okay, where am I at in my life?
Yeah.
So in this time, we've got no Facebook, no food, we're not talking, no one's telling you to connect your Wahoo with the user.
Yeah.
You're sitting down. There's a bit of guidance,
yeah.
empirically validated tools to get your system ready for the journey.
Yep.
You're with a group of other people who are on the same path or similar intention, and that intention is palpable.
Yeah.
So we're doing something that humans Beautiful. Have done for many, many, many years, millennia actually, which is coming together mm-hmm. in the ceremony. So when you're on your own meditating, it's a very different experience yeah. to sitting in a group. We also use techniques that build our psychophysiological coherence,
wow.
which means in simple yeah. terms,
yes.
we bring our electromagnetic system of the body into balance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's measurable outside the body, mm. not as an aura, mm-hmm. but with a magnometer, you can
yep.
actually measure
the
that. So when you have a group of people doing this, mm. there's an amazing harmony and the space shifts and changes.
Absolutely.
So you're in a changed space.
Yeah.
Then we've got the sound that we use.
Mm-hmm.
So we use a soundscape that's designed to slow the brainwaves down to support meditation
okay.
using high-end technology that really works well to slow down and very eclectic music, stuff that you might not have heard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite different and that's novel and that yeah. novelty is very good for the brain. It'll
right.
pay more attention to the novel experience.
Uh-huh.
So we're sort of combining the heart math breathing coherence building techniques. We're combining ceremony, intention, sound and the cacao.
Wow, yeah, that sounds like a beautiful experience and something that I will definitely be looking at doing myself. We're talking to Willow Francis and he's from cacaoceremonies.com, is it?
That's right. Yeah.
Or Reverence Chocolate, they're the Insta and Facebook handles, Reverence Chocolate. And, yeah, it's been really interesting chatting to you about the ceremonies and how cacao can actually connect you. I suppose it's like a connection to your... I saw on your websites like your heart, your true, your core values, your heart's intelligence, which is really important in our day and age because there is a lot of panic and strife out there, a lot of fear, anxieties, depressions, all of that sort of stuff affects not just us but our families in different ways. So it sounds like a beautiful way to ground. Is it something you can, like with obviously – you enter into a cacao ceremony with intent. But is it something you can do every day? Can I drink cacao?
Oh, yeah, you can drink cacao every
I mean,
day.
I know I have cacao. Chocolate.
So to differentiate, so most commercial chocolate
mm-hmm.
is roasted to high temperatures.
Right.
So that'll destroy a lot of the nutritional value, especially
yep.
things like tryptophan, which is very heat sensitive.
Okay.
And tryptophan is a precursor to building serotonin in our body, so right. we don't want to destroy the tryptophan because we need stress defense,
okay.
especially now.
Yes.
We need serotonin.
Yes.
So commercial chocolate, sugar, dairy.
Yes.
The
okay.
dairy, actually the casein in the dairy blocks the antioxidants in the cacao.
Right.
And cacao has the highest source of antioxidants of any food.
Mm-hmm.
And antioxidants clear out the free radicals or the corrupt cells, the ones that need to be cleared out the body.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, raw cacao has 4 times the amount of antioxidants of a good quality dark chocolate or
wow.
much more than a red wine or a green tea.
Okay.
So for health and well-being, cacao really kicks the marks. Super high magnesium, super high antioxidants, lots of trace minerals, serotonin, dopamine, all this stuff that really nourishes the body. Absolutely, very nourishing. Wow. And people feel that. So we make it, as I said, without the dairy because we don't want to block those antioxidants. And there's lots of ways. I have a little recipe I give people when they buy our ceremonial grade cacao, which is basically raw cacao. So all chocolate comes from the Theobroma cacao tree.
Right.
Which is basically a lovely tree that grows these pods.
Yes.
And on each pod is filled with about 50 beans or seeds.
Yes.
And they're surrounded by a mucilaginous gel. So it's like a lychee or a rambutan type taste. They make drinks out of that in South America, Central America.
Okay.
But when we get the seeds or beans, when we first see them in the pod, they're bright purple, which we know is high antioxidant in nature. Yep. Generally the bright skin-coloured plants. Think blueberries, think raspberries.
Yes, I was just thinking those actually.
Yeah. But when you eat them, they're super bitter.
Right.
And often in nature, bitter is better.
Yes.
But for the Western palate, bitter generally doesn't be better. We want sweet. We want tasty.
Yes.
So what happens to – so the early days, the Aztecs, the Mayans, even the early Spanish, they just eat the raw beans and gives them lots of energy for the day, lots of focus. They'd say you could walk all day on a handful of beans.
Mm-hmm.
That was in Cortez's army. The doctor had this little saying about that. But what we do – what has been done traditionally, and it's done very much the same today, is – they get the beans and they cover a big pile of them with all that gel, with all the fruity pulp, cover them with banana leaves and leave them for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is that pulp heats up naturally, starts fermenting, and then the naturally occurring yeasts in the area, in the environment, start that fermentation process.
Okay.
Then the enzymes in the beans start chewing on the protein chains and release the amino acids.
Okay.
The amino acids are what make up the proteins.
Yeah.
And as those aminos are released, the flavour changes.
Wow.
This is where the change goes from very bitter to more a whole variety of flavours.
Sure.
In fact, there's more adjectives to describe chocolate than there is wine.
Okay.
When we describe. So then what happens, it gets to about 50 degrees Celsius, so the fermenting stops.
Yes.
Too hot. Then they're spread out and dried for about 2 weeks. Then you've got the cacao bean. It's got a little shell that keeps it fresh for about 3 years. But you can just eat that fellow straight away.
Wow.
So what we do for our raw choc is then all those beans will be shelled and then squashed together like a wine press to create cacao paste.
Wow.
Like a block, a big block of chocolate.
Yeah.
Now, if you eat that straight up, it's still very bitter.
Yes.
Lots of other flavours for a good palate,
a
palate that's not abused by too much sugar or smoking.
Sure.
But generally with chocolate, you need to have a sweetener to make it palatable.
Mm-hmm.
So then I've got a little recipe. We just use water.
Mm-hmm.
We use a little bit of agave.
Okay.
You could use some panela, which is a evaporated cane juice.
Right.
You could use coconut sugar. You could use your sweetener of choice.
Honey?
Honey. It can be a bit forward, the honey, for the flavour.
Right.
But there's too many conversations about sweetness.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
So we've had them for years.
Yeah.
So I give the recipe and I say, sweetener of choice, but this is what we use. We use a little bit of vanilla, a little bit
delicious.
Of cane pepper.
Yeah.
So chili was always put with chocolate as a vasodilator. So
it's
to open up the veins to get the thing moving through the body, to get more of a rush, more of a lift, because this is for working in the day. So you get that real charge.
Yeah, okay.
So you can make that drink very easily. We also do one which I have every day with a nut milk. So I use almond milk, more magnesium, more health. And then I add a whole lot of super herbs, medicinal mushrooms, Ayurvedic herbs like ashwagandha and holy basil and shilajit and sachinchi. And I put about 23 different ones in my drink every day.
Wow.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
We've done this for a decade, so we've played and enjoyed. But it has to be tasty.
Yes.
That's our
bottom line.
You want to be able to go, oh, I can't wait to have that chocolate. And often people come to the ceremony and they're like, they're coming back for the cacao drink because it's a really tasty, chocolatey drink. It's not unpalatable by any means.
Yeah, okay. And so if I was, like you mentioned earlier, if you're getting off coffee and you want to sort of work with something more nourishing, more positive for your body, is it as simple as making a cup of coffee in the morning?
If you've got one of those flash espresso machines, it's probably a bit less than all that.
Okay.
But, you know, we've got a lot of guys and girls who they get referred to me by this lovely fellow, Mitch Vicridge, and he's a personal trainer and he's really into supporting people on their health journeys. Now, he's referring lots of people to get on the cacao because he knows the value of cacao. And they're using it, they're all gym people, they're fitness people, and they're very conscious of what they're eating, what they're putting into their body and how they feel. They're very tuned into their physiology.
Yeah.
So they come and get the cacao and they love it. It's a great tonic before working out,
yes,
after working out,
yep,
as a replacement for coffee, as a food replacement.
Yeah.
It actually cuts your appetite.
Okay.
And it actually creates something called thermogenesis, which tells your body to burn fat, not store fat. So it's great for weight loss.
Wow, okay.
There's so many areas to cacao.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
We can go in all the different directions, which is really exciting to start to learn about this food that most people don't even realise that chocolate grows on trees.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And then we've got the physical health, so it's nice and scientific, if you like, nice and grounded. But then we've got the spiritual health. We've got that nourishment. We've got that feeling of I'm okay, it's okay. And just that warmth settling. And also the magnesium to really relax the body. In ceremony is great. We have little meditation chairs so you're supported.
Yep.
We have little mind folds so it covers your eyes so you're in the dark. And little cutouts so it doesn't press on the eyes. So you've had your cacao, the soundscape starting, you're sitting back and off you go. Then we do some very specific breathing techniques. So it's always been known that breath work helps.
Yes.
You know, basically, scientifically, when you do slow, deep breathing, it activates the parasympathetic nervous system, the brake or the relaxation side of the body.
Yeah.
That's why when someone's all anxious, you say, hey, take a couple of deep breaths. That's normal. What's been found with some deep research in the field of neurocardiology, which is the connection between the brain and the heart, is that when we do heart-focused breathing, when we actually shift our attention down to the centre of our chest, where the heart is, not over to the left, right behind the sternum, where you're going to do CPR, that's the heart. When you shift your attention there and you start some slow, gentle breathing, imagining the breath coming in through the heart on the in-breath and out on the out-breath.
Yeah, everyone can do this.
This is a phenomenal technique.
Yeah,
even the simple heart-focused breathing starts to change the heart rhythm.
Right.
And that rhythm communicates up the vagus nerve to the brain and says, everything's okay. So if you can't do anything at the moment, if you're really stressed, anxious, you're watching lots of news, switch it off for 10 minutes and do some heart-focused breathing. Just that alone starts to change the physiology of the body. So we do that, then we activate a renewing emotion. So the research published in the Journal of Cardiology in 1999.
Wow, that's a while ago.
This was the breakthrough research though. And since there's been 300 journal articles and 2,000 ancillary articles on this work. So it's very well researched.
Yeah.
And what it says fundamentally is that our emotions drive our physiology.
Yes.
Negative emotions, irritation, frustration, fear, anxiety, stress, those sorts of feelings, frustration, judgment, righteousness, they create a very incoherent heart rhythm, a rhythm that is quite jagged and goes up to the brain and connects us to our fight, flight, freeze center. And that's not good for functioning in the modern world.
Sure.
Conversely, when we cultivate consciously and authentically, not just thinking about it, but we reconnect with a feeling of, say, appreciation or gratitude.
Yes.
You could just think of a friend who's always been there for you, maybe a time on the beach with some friends, maybe your pet, the fact you've got fresh water in your cup, the fact we live here in Australia at this time. If you can authentically then start to really cultivate that feeling as you do the heart-focused breathing, your whole physiology changes.
Yes.
And that change is called coherence. And what happens is different parts of the brain start operating. We unplug from the evolutionary survival part, fight, flight, freeze, and we plug into the neocortex, the front of the brain, the executive centres.
Yes.
Now, all this comes back to ceremony. So we're in this ceremony. We've come along to this strange people's house and we've sat down in a circle and we're doing something new. We thought we'd hop out of our comfort zone. Friends said it was great. Well, what's this cacao ceremony? We sat down. We've had a good talk. Met Catherine and Willow, lovely people. Still a bit unsure though. So we had a good settling in at the beginning and off we go and the cacao's been served and lovely drink and settled down. But still underneath there'll be anxiety, of course, novelty.
Something new, yeah.
And that makes sense. It's evolutionary.
Okay, yeah.
But once we start the heart-focused breathing and we generate this positive emotion or renewing emotion, I'll use that word so it's not so judgmental.
Yes.
What happens is our whole biofield changes as well. Mm. The electromagnetic field of the heart, which extends over 2 meters from the body,
changes.
So everyone in the room's doing that. Mm-hmm. So a calm comes across the room. Mm-hmm. And that calm allows you then to go inwards. Mm-hmm. So some people use cacao for ecstatic dance and very external for fitness work.
Yes.
We try and get that energy and go inwards because there's a lot bigger space inside than outside.
Yeah.
And we haven't really explored it as much as humans as we probably could.
No.
Especially in the West.
Yes.
And that's why there's a big resurgence in psychedelics and a big desire to explore
to tap in
the inner worlds.
Yes.
Meditation.
Yes.
Things like that. So... Mm-hmm. Here you are sitting in your chair, you got your little eye mask on, had your cacao, you start your heart-focused breathing, you're generating a positive emotion, and your whole physiology is now in a very prepared state to start your journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we start the soundscape.
Okay.
Very eclectic soundscape.
Yes.
With signals that literally change the brainwaves.
Okay.
So a lot of people might not know that different brainwave states create different perceptions of reality. So when we've got fast brainwave states like the beta range, everything feels very solid, external, and we're quite separate from each other.
Right.
Now when we slow the brainwaves down, say like an alpha state, people have heard of alpha brainwaves, daydream. When you're daydreaming, you're not sort of there. You're sort of, say you're washing the dishes and you're daydreaming about something. You're sort of off in Paris or somewhere, but you're in the kitchen at the same time.
Yes.
And suddenly the dishes are all done.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's been a shift of consciousness, and this is important. It's not lightweight. There's been a shift of consciousness. You left the room.
Yes.
And physical function.
Yes.
And you were exploring
elsewhere. Yeah, that's so beautiful.
Then
yeah.
We go deeper into the theta range, and this is the primo state for shamans, for explorers, because when we get to theta, we can lose sensation of our body.
Mm.
We can start to let go of this solidity, this idea. And I'll just say that it is only an idea that we're separate from each other and that we actually inhabit the body. So then we can explore. We can explore internally or whatever, whatever you want to call that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what we do. Now, when we're in the theta state, we're very close to delta, which is the sleep state. So some people come along and they've been so exhausted by living, they fall asleep.
Right. They need to rest.
So they might get a little shake on the toe just to bring him back to the room. Mm. Or I encourage people just to open their eyes for a bit and sit in a meditative pose, eyes open, just gently focusing until they're sort of awake again, and then off they go. Otherwise, if they really need to sleep, that's fine.
Sure.
It can be really nourishing, obviously.
Yes.
But we try and keep people present because it's the presence of the ceremony, the presence of all the people there in the room that really makes the difference.
Yeah, wow.
And I mean, if people need to lie down, then they lie down. Mm. But we say... maybe lie down for a little while and then sit back up again. So we're really there to support people to get the most from the ceremony for themselves and for their intention that they come along with.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to coming to one of your ceremonies, Willow. And if you want to find out, this is for the people in Perth, it's cacaoceremonies.com. Obviously, wherever you may be listening in the world, it's probably a good idea to do a bit of research and find out. Or word of mouth is always really good because that tells you of, you know, who's had really great experiences and felt supported and understands what they're actually doing. And we were talking off air about neo-shamanism and shamanism. And so shamanism being the core, the truth of shaman lineage, past, present, future, whereas the neo-shamans are the ones that have been, I don't know, woken up now and... maybe there is a lineage or there is some sort of, you know, connection, but there is a little bit of confusion to that sort of connection. So just what I'm just saying to whoever's listening is if you are not in Perth and you can't come to one of these wonderful ceremonies that I'm looking forward to, then do your research wherever you are because it sounds like a beautiful way to start exploring your heart, your inner self in a new way apart from meditation and just breath work, but really consciously connecting to your heart. We're chatting with Willow Francis from Reverence Chocolate. That's the Insta and Facebook handle. And got a little bit of time left, and the wonderful explanation and the wonderful you know, visual that you've given me about the cacao ceremonies sound really brilliant. And if you're interested, as I mentioned before the break, please check out cacaoceremonies.com. That's in Perth. And also, just quickly, I wanted to ask Willow, you know, I mean, to have a daily drink, what's the difference between going to a ceremony and drinking? Like, obviously, there's got to be some sort of potency that's different. You know, you're the one that creates the
brew.
And at the ceremony, it's obviously going to be different to a daily sort of drink.
Yeah.
Or chocolate. Well, walking out there.
It's all about levels. Mm-hmm. But then there's a part that comes in that's a little harder to quantify, if you like. So you can have the same drink, the same strength in your kitchen.
Yeah.
Or you could enter the ceremonial space.
Right, the intention.
With your intention. So people don't quite understand the power of intention.
Mm.
And intention, for people that don't understand what that is, it's really setting, if you want to use the word consciousness, you're sort of setting a rudder, you're setting a point to head towards that's going to anchor you for your journey, because our minds jump all over the place all the time. It's what the mind does.
Can do, yes.
It's trying to look after you.
Yeah.
You know, maladaptive behavior, we call it. But when you sit down and you've come along and you've thought about this for a few days because you're coming to the event, you haven't drunk any coffee in the morning, you know you're going to something a little different.
Mm-hmm.
So your whole psyche is starting to adjust and prepare for this journey.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we drink the cacao, we ask people to reconnect with their intention. So for some people, the intention might be to resolve some relationship issues that are holding them back. For some people, it might be to get creativity around their music or their artwork.
Sure.
Or it might be for some guidance in life.
Mm-hmm.
Some people find that, you know, they're sitting there and they realize they're being a total asshole. What's that all about? Where did that come from? They were a really nice guy and suddenly they've become an arseholic.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, wow, that's unexpected.
Yeah.
So just because you have an intention, it doesn't mean you're going to get handed on a platter your egos or egoic or personal self's idea of that intention. There might be something a lot bigger coming through. And often people get really surprised.
Mm.
It might be that someone died many years ago and they hadn't thought about it, and that came up and released a whole lot of grief that wasn't there.
Yeah.
And we're well trained to manage anything that comes up in ceremony.
Yes.
Catherine and I have worked with hundreds of people
for
over a decade in many sorts of ceremonies.
Yes.
There's not much we haven't dealt with. Having been an emergency room nurse, there's not much I haven't had to manage in the physical as well.
Yeah.
And the metaphysical, I work with people one-on-one all the time.
Sure.
And a lot of stuff comes up.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yes.
I love the human, the complexity of the human experience. So with the intention, then connecting to cacao that way, there's a very different experience. And we sort of connect to the spirit of cacao, if you like, if you want to go a step further.
Mm.
Now, some people, that's a bit outside their experience, so that makes sense. Don't connect with something, just make it up.
Yeah.
Then you feel really like a fake and you don't know what you're doing connecting with the spirit. But for those people that do connect with the spirit of cacao,
yes,
she is a very amazing experience to have. Like anything you connect with non-physical, you know, that's a very personal journey. So very different to sitting in your kitchen in the morning, getting ready to go to work, and I'm going to have my cacao drink rather than my coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can still, like, any time you consume something, you can stop and be a bit reverent.
Mm.
Reverence is our business.
Yes.
So you can stop and think, wow, this is great. I get this beautiful, nourishing beverage. How lucky am I?
Mm.
And even that changes your physiological state, that appreciation. Suddenly you've expressed appreciation, so you're going to digest that better anyway.
Yeah.
We know that scientifically.
Yes.
Appreciation changes our physiology, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe that answers.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, it does, it does. All right, and it's basically, I suppose, I just wanted to find out, are there, because there are obviously a lot of different people coming to your ceremony seeking different answers for different things from, you know, eight. Do you have to be a certain age, by the way?
Generally.
Eight.
Able to sit for a few hours.
Okay.
Without needing to go on Facebook. So around a good mature 17-year-old, no worries at all.
Okay. You know? So any age
up
group,
till,
really,
You know, we wheel them in. We don't mind.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and we were talking about the different aspects or the different, just the different, you know, things that you might need to be aware of if you're on any sort of medication, or is there anything we need to be aware of if we're coming to a ceremony? Obviously, chatting to you or the person that's holding the ceremony would be beneficial, but is there anything in particular we need to?
Everything we have is pretty well on the website, alerting people to any needs. The main thing we have is if someone's pregnant, if they're on antidepressants or on chemotherapy medication.
Okay.
And that doesn't stop you coming along. We just need to know so we can adjust the dose of the cacao for you.
Okay, that's pretty simple. That's
pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a beautiful experience. And those seekers out there that, you know, are looking at a new way of connecting to heart. And I also know you work a lot with, you've been talking a lot about heart math to me off air, and I don't know if we've mentioned it on air. But anyway, that sounds like a really interesting and beautiful way to explore self and centre back into self and into your heart space and being present and sort of being a human as well as spiritual or whatever you want to call it. So balancing all of that out. So that's all found as well. You have another website with Catherine, your wife, your partner, and that's catherineandwillow.com.
Yep,
yeah,
very simple.
So, so there's quite a few different sort of ways that they can connect with you if they want to find out more. And if there is a way to, you know, if there's anything you'd like to say to anyone that may be, obviously these times, we're going to talk about the present now, these times that we're all sort of, everyone's facing it, but everyone's, you know, doing it differently. Some of us are panicking, some of us are taking a backseat, some of us are just gliding with it. If there are people out there that really sort of focused on the outside, what do you have some sort of, and this is not just about cacao, this is just your wisdom and that your understanding of humanity in the heart and what we can do to sort of center and just calm ourselves in the midst of all of this, because it shall pass.
It will pass. It might not pass for a while.
But, yeah. And
my general feeling is that this is a big disruptor that's come along. It's been on the cards for a long time. It's a bit scary. You have to be honest about that. You need to – I always believe that, you know, it's like when we suffer. We need to admit we're suffering and then we can move forward with that, because we realise all humans suffer.
Yes.
And then we share the suffering with all of humanity. We're not on our own.
Mm.
And then we find out, well, what do I need to hear? What's the thing I most need to hear? So we can soothe ourselves. So in these times, I'm actually sending a little email out to the Self-Kindness Project database today to offer some support for these times based on evidence-based methodology to soothe the fear, to soothe the anxiety. Because the challenge is at the moment, the evolutionary way of responding to change is feeling-based, but it's not rational. Rationality came later.
Yes.
The feeling-based is the way we survived when not much was going on, we're in the cave, there's a rustle in the bushes. Oh, it's a tiger, run. It might have just been a marmot or something.
Yeah.
But survival is the number
is
one.
The key,
But in the 21st century, with so much data coming into our systems, we're stuck in fight, flight, freeze, and we don't make good rational decisions in fight, flight, freeze. It's very reptilian. It's very immediate. It's very narrow. So what we need to do is access our neocortex, our humanity. When we slow down, when we breathe, that heart-focused breathing we did earlier, that literally changes our neurology and allows us to access the broader thinking part of ourselves. It allows us to access the executive centres of our brain, which lets us think outside the box, think of the other or all the others. And I think for me at this time, the suggestion is to forget yourself and think of others, because if we all do that, someone's going to be thinking of you. So you're covered. And
that's a nice suggestion.
Well, we live in a very narcissistic society.
Yes.
We're very individualistic. You see that in America more than Australia.
Yeah.
But we're very individualistic. So the individual's more important than the whole. But that's not going to help us. What will help us is be a whole together to solve problems, to come up with unique and innovative solutions to this challenge. And the way to do that, the way to access that innovation, is kindness, care and compassion. And if we can, we actually are hardwired for kindness, care and compassion. They're our core, what we call our core values. All humans globally have
yes,
that.
Yes, I believe that.
And
I know
we
that.
Can see it in evidence with our immune system. Mm-hmm. When we practice kindness and compassion, we build up immunoglobulin A, which is an antibody in our first line of defense. So if you want to get your immune system up to manage these times, be kind.
Yes.
Activate feelings of compassion and care, and that will build it up.
Mm-hmm.
Feelings of anger, irritation, frustration, and fear actually deplete the immune system for 6 hours.
Yes.
So you've got to get out of that thinking and feeling. And that may be hard. This might take practice.
It does. It can do,
Any little bit of practice or any bit of progress when dealing with fear is great.
It is.
You just have to stay with it and be persistent and not want the magic fairy to click the fingers and you be some Buddha. We need to do the work.
We do.
So being kind, compassion, really looking people in the eye and checking in with them, even at the checkout, you know, the simplest human connections. Just stop that moment and realize this is a valuable thing we're experiencing. Mm. We're human beings. We really don't know much about what's going on.
No.
We've made up a lot of stuff
to
make ourselves feel safe.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, when it comes to life and death and the experience of consciousness, we've got some ideas. There's some very learned evolved beings to help guide us around, no question.
Yes.
But en masse, we're actually back in the cave days. Our emotionality, our systems have not evolved with the pace of life.
Mm.
And we're really back in the swamp when it comes to emotionality. We need to emotionally self-regulate.
Yes.
We need to be managing our emotions, because if we regulate, it helps everyone around us.
So that's what it means to be, you know, caring, compassion and kindness to self first.
Absolutely.
And that's not about being selfish. It's not about individualistic. It's not about being, it's about filling our cup.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, it's just saying that we still need to care for self, and but it's also once we feel full and balanced with self, this is where we can cup overflows and we're able to connect with others with a full heart and be there completely, look them in the eye and be there, be complete compassion
And there's a real irony there, because when you really authentically learn to have self-care, self-compassion and self-kindness, you then forget yourself and go and help others. It just comes as a byproduct. It's quite odd that there's this irony,
I can understand,
or this paradox,
that,
if you like, in place. And so I just really encourage people to the simple things of self-care, like that heart-focused breathing, generating, you know, sitting on the couch for 10 minutes.
And just breathing into your heart slowly. Just a reminder.
Generating an authentic feeling of care, gratitude, compassion, kindness, love. Yeah,
which can be brought about by a thought or a memory
that
brings you that feeling.
Exactly, It's not about positive thinking at all.
No, this is
evidence-based work that shows we cultivate the emotion. Mm-hmm. Once we've had the thought, we can put it aside and focus on the feeling that's coming through and watch what happens. Yeah. You'll notice the feeling.
Beautiful.
You'll really see it. Mm. Then we can share that with others.
Yes.
We can help others say, hey, you're feeling stressed, just, you know, let's do this. And, of course, you don't just say, just chill out and relax. Mm. You can't say that to someone who's anxious. That's very unfair.
It is.
We need to bring good evidence-based tools that support them. And that's the sort of thing I do. And I'm doing a talk on that this Friday.
Oh, okay, cool.
So at the Cottesloe Civic Centre.
Okay, if you're
Friday
in Perth.
Evening, if you're in Perth.
Check out, is that on the, that's on the Kakao Ceremonies?
It'll be on the website, Self-Kindness Project.
Yeah, okay. Self-Kindness Project. We've got people opening and closing doors. Self-Kindness Project. So, guys.
.com.au.
Okay, so is it? Oh, selfkindnessproject.com.au. I guess that's another website. Thank you so much, Willow Francis, for your time. It's been so enlightening. I've really enjoyed it. Remember, it's Insta at Reverence Chocolate and cacaoceremonies.com or
CatherineandWillow.com.
That'll get you somewhere. So thank you again, Willow. It's been an absolute pleasure, and really great to have you here. So heartfelt thanks to you.
Thank you very much for having me here. I really appreciate it. It was
wonderful. So remember that these this is available on podcast as well if you just connected, and we look forward to connecting again next week, same time, same place. And it's been a pleasure chatting. So take care and blessings. Bye.
This has been a One Life Radio production.